It's on.
We're ready. Morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, July 1. Hey, 2021, and we're free at last from the mask. And it is 9 a.m. County Administrative Workshop, BCC Conference Room, in person. And I like it. I'm enjoying seeing your smiling face. See, I kind of wonder what the crime rate's going to do now that everybody's recognizable. I'm going to guess the crime rate might just drop a little bit. I know I haven't done anything nefarious since I took my mask off. Anyway, item one is Department Business, and 1A is Community Corrections. Nate Gallieri, Community Corrections Director. And item number one is Intergovernment Agreement with Oregon Judicial Department for Drug Court Services. Nate, if you'd like to come up and take a seat.
Yeah.
Did you ever get an extension cord for the hot seat over here so we can turn it on when we need it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, the facility said we can't plug it in.
No, just can't say on mic.
Yeah, and Mike's not here.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Commissioners of the Board. For the record, I am Nate Gowiran, the Director of Community Corrections. And today before you, I have two agenda items that I'd like to present, both of which are pass-through funding for the drug court, the first in the amount of $125,500. This is a contract of personal services with Options for Southern Oregon, which provides funding for case management and peer support services for drug court clients. All associated costs are funded under the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. You may hear me refer to that as SAMHSA grant. We are the applicants as the county, and this is passed through money to a very effective program in drug court.
Who did we use before Options?
We used Choices.
Choices.
And so the history of that is that Choices under Rick Jones was merged with Options. So now Rick Jones and Choices is under Options. So it's really the same personnel. It's really the same curriculum and programming for
management change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems we had an issue with Choices or something a number of years ago.
I'm not aware of any issues with them other than just, you know, the regular.
I think it was a logistic big thing that they merged together.
Yeah.
So they're out on G Street.
Yeah, they're in the old Roosevelt School that was
condemned.
First, second, third grade, and was condemned right after I left.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I didn't do
Still
anything.
Still people showing up.
What did I do?
Weird.
And it was uninhabitable for children. Okay.
So that's the first one, and then our ask is that you authorize me as the Director of Community Corrections to sign the contract for personal services with Options of Southern Oregon. The second agenda item is the intergovernment agreement, which provides funding for a 0.35 FTE drug court clerk position employed by the Oregon Judicial Department. All associated costs are funded under the Federal Bureau of Justice grant award that we were the applicants of and were successful in securing that money at a tune of $87,000. And again, this is pass-through money.
$87,000 for 0.35?
Of an FTE.
So three times that would be one full FTE would be 260,000?
And I believe this is a two-year...
That makes me feel better about it.
Yeah, so it...
A little bit.
Right.
No, I'm just...
Yeah,
20
to 2022.
Yeah, so it's a two-year. Yeah.
Okay.
So our request is that you authorize the director, me, of Community Corrections to sign the intergovernment agreement with the Oregon Judicial Department. And that is all my requests for today.
Questions for Nate?
Nope.
No, this sounds pretty housekeeping.
Yes.
Something we've done before.
Yeah.
We'll put this on the WBS, and I don't know whether we're... Weekly business sessions are all going to be in Ambassador, but we're having some logistics problems with Zoom.
Yeah.
And we may not... If we have to look at whether what we're going to continue to Zoom. We may need to have you show up in person, but this one to me doesn't sound like, you know, it's just a quick 5-minute. Commissioner Beartrager was concerned about dragging you out of your office for an hour minimum to do a 5-minute presentation, where we could probably take care of that. If we had the adequate stuff, we'd be glad to do it for you.
Just have your cell phone on hand, so if the public or something brings something up, we can just ring you up.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so let's move this to the WBS. Next Wednesday? Yes.
Yep.
And let's redline to give him signing authority, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Thanks, Nate.
Good enough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
See you later. Next up.
Good day, sir.
Court services. So item two is contract for personal service. That's,
how did you tell me my sunglasses?
We did both of those. All right. Okay.
Sorry, I'll do it next time.
Item B, under juvenile justice, we have Jim Goodman, juvenile justice director. And item number one is State of Oregon Intergovernment Grant Agreement number 170718. Good morning, sir.
Good
How
morning,
are you?
Commissioners.
This was an unexpected.
The juvenile thing starting to rub off on you. You look younger every time you come in.
Thank you.
This was an unexpected surprise. For the record, Jim Goodwin, director of Josephine County Juvenile Justice. So we all know there's there's a problem getting people to go to work right now. Mm-hmm. We have had in our program since we reopened a very difficult time because of the shift work nature of what we do, day swing, graveyard, you work holidays, you work weekends. That's not exclusive to us statewide. Mm-hmm. It is almost in a crisis situation with some of the programs. To the point, DHS, unsolicited, non-competitive grants to every program like ours, and now I'm talking about our residential program, not secured detention for youth. They awarded almost $120,000 per program to be spent for staff recruitment and retention for fiscal year 2021-22. So starting today and ending June 30th, the amount on middle of page 2, $119,661.75. And it's really wide open what we can do with this. One of the main things, we have been working some of our hardworking people really hard overtime. So we can use this money for overtime. We can use it for trainings. We can use it for bonus structures. I spoke with Commissioner Fowler, our liaison, about this a little bit yesterday. And it's a great. The turnaround was very fast. We got this 2 weeks ago and said, hey, you need it done so we can get this rolling by the first. And we're really excited about it because we can do things that are outside. It's all grant money funded, you know, from this funding stream from the state. We can do things that you can't ordinarily do in government to incentivize. One thing that we can do, we are expanding our recruitment to schools that have programs that match the degrees that we need, even out of state, and we're going to target them and basically try to recruit folks coming out of those schools. We can do moving stipends, you know, a couple thousand dollars to move from Southern California if you're coming up there or whatever. So legal has reviewed and approved to form the IGA, and it's just before you, again, like Director Gavin Wren, I would ask for authority to sign on behalf of Josephine County for this. And I'd take any questions.
I would just, you know, caution that not expand too much, because what has happened is, let's just say COVID never happened. Everything was normal. The economy was roaring, and the state is always 1 year behind the income. And so in 2020, the state, without the federal money, had an excess of $1 billion more income than anticipated, okay? And then the feds gave us $4 billion, all right? Well, That ain't going to happen in the next couple of years.
You get used to spending what you have.
Right.
You never expect it to go backwards. You always expect it to continue on or get better.
Right, and I don't think this is going to be the case. So I just caution everybody, you know, don't expand the department too much because you may not have the money in 2 years. I think we're going to be fine for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But at some point, we're going to go back to a normal budget process. Yeah. And I'll be honest, they didn't know where to spend the money. I was looking at how much money went to DHS. I looked at how much the biggest pot went to Oregon Health Authority. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable amount of money. So, but when it's gone, it's gone. That's what I think everybody understands what I'm saying.
Well, that was the money to the health authority was a reward.
Well,
Commissioner DeYoung,
he's in the paper again.
Step in, yeah. Well, if I could add, we were talking about this yesterday, and my philosophy has always been work on retention first.
Yeah.
Reward those employees that stuck it out during COVID first and get them back up to they're already happy.
Get them feeling better that they didn't waste. All their extra effort didn't go unnoticed.
Didn't go unnoticed.
And what can you do in your office to make your folks more efficient? You know, I don't know what that is, but I would look at those kind of things too that makes them more efficient, okay? Well, it helps them do their job.
We have to be careful here because it's a $119, which is not, in the scheme of things, is really not a lot of money.
No, it's not a lot.
Right. And in the...
But if put in the right places, it could do a lot.
And the way that DHS, I think the way they moved the shells, this is actually a general fund allocation, which means at the end of this, we give back what we don't spend. So this is kind of a quick spend dry, do what you can in 12 months to recruit and retain your folks and train, that kind of thing. And so, I mean, it's a great shot in the arm, I think, like I said, being a government entity, not private nonprofit, like where a lot of us come from, is you just can't do some of the things that we'll be able to do with this. And that's the target of it, statewide. That's what they're saying. Look, there's one program in the Willamette Valley that has not taken a kid in 90 days because they have no graveyard shift. And their admin folks are coming in working because they can't get anybody in the door. And so, you know, that was the genesis of this this whole thing.
And quite seriously, you rebuilt this thing from near ashes and found the personnel, and the hardest ones are that shift work. We'd hate to lose any ground because we're now effectively serving our youth and schools again.
And we're still, we're this far above the water, so we're all right.
Well, as a quote from the Senate president, no, maybe I'll say a paraphrase because it might not be an exact quote, is, and he said this in a committee meeting, "I don't know how we're going to spend all this money."
Oh, my God. That sounds like a blue state.
Yep. So there you got it.
Well, I don't have any problem with this. You're going to do with the money. You're responsible. You've been around here long enough that I don't question what you're doing. I have no problem with signing authority going over to you and just keep us abreast of what you do with it, so we kind of know.
Absolutely.
But to me, $119,000. I have been trying to find out, and I will never probably be able to find out what DHS's Verizon bill is every month for the free phones they give to everybody walking down the street.
You can find you.
That's fine.
We can find out if you.
I'd like to find out. I've called and nobody seems to know. And I said, it's got to be somewhere. Somebody's got to write a check for the Verizon bill.
Right.
And I'll bet it is astronomical. So, okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. We're going to move this to the WBS. It'll be on Wednesdays also. Okay. Same thing goes for you. Same advice. I think if you just type up a little bit of something that Commissioner Fowler can
read.
Sure. Or I can be there Wednesday. Like, I love this. I'm so excited.
Well, have a candy.
That we can do this in person.
I think we as an organization need to demonstrate that we're coming out of COVID.
Absolutely.
And that means we're not going to still hide behind in the bushes and work from home and all that. We're back to work.
I'm waiting for Delta though.
For what?
Delta. When Delta hits, you're going to have to wear a blue mask.
Commissioners, right?
Delta. That's the new variant.
Don't throw away your mask yet. That's what Herman said.
I didn't even know there was a Delta. I thought that was an airline.
Nope, another strain.
Delta 8's also a strain of cannabis. So
yeah, all kinds of Deltas.
There's all kinds of Deltas flying. Well, that's an airplane check.
Okay, we'll move this to the WBS. Yep.
And I can be there.
And you can be there, okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, this is great to tell the folks what we're doing.
So note that, Wendy, that we will have a guest in the building.
And Redline the signing authority again. Yep.
Thank you.
All right, see you, Jim.
Item C is Fairgrounds. Tamara Martin is with us, Fairgrounds Director. Item C1 is order number 2021-004 in the matter of the adoption of the bylaws for Josephine County Fair Board. So if you would like to come up, ma'am, then we will kick this around.
Have a candy.
I'll start the day off with a little sugar.
Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Tamara Martin, Fairgrounds Director, for the record.
And to when we interviewed Tamara for the job, and she walked in here, and the person before her was just epic, full of energy and everything, and Tamara sat right in this chair right here, and she's like, should we get started? And I went, she took control of that meeting right away. I like that. This is our girl here.
Seems like a long time ago.
It is, yeah.
Starting to get back there, huh?
Yeah. So you have before you actually some bylaws that were prepared by the Fair Board. And this is something that actually started back before COVID. And so this has kind of been this long process that's been kind of brewing in the background, but hasn't been a real sense of urgency. But the purpose of the bylaws is the Fair Board wanted to create a set of standards that they would operate. This is in addition to obviously the state statutes, but for them to know that when they're working as a group, that there's a level of professionalism that is expected and accountability to each other.
Their ground rules.
Yeah. And so they've really worked a lot over the years to create best of practices, some policies, and, you know, really, like I said, create a standard that they know.
Is this replacing
existing bylaws, or these are brand new?
Or did they not ever have any?
I don't think they ever had any, and if they did, they were a while back. So this is something that they started working on a couple of years ago. It did go through legal, and then has come back through. Obviously, they've all approved it. If there are bylaws, they were probably typed on a typewriter and sitting in a vault someplace, yeah. But they have not been active.
I have a vault in my office. You can look in there.
They might be in there. They might be in the dungeon downstairs. I don't know.
Well, I think it also just leans towards a professionalism that the Fair Board has taken on that I don't think they've always have had.
Correct.
You know, with the master plan, when I first went over there as liaison, I said, you know, where's your master plan? You're applying for grants. And yet they don't even look at you for a grant unless it's in your master plan. Yeah. Well, we don't have one. Or we kind of have one, but we don't know if it was ever adopted. And the group went together in a two-year-plus process, got their master plan approved. And so this is just another thing to add to the relevancy or credence or whatever you want to talk about of the Fair Board. Because they are their own, they're different from advisory panels. The Fair Board is the board of directors.
Well, it's a governing body.
It's a governing body.
So. And there was no dissent on these.
No. And it was...
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It is. I have one complaint, which is not large and probably won't change this. But they're not really the Joseph County Fair Board. They're the Fairgrounds Board because they don't just do fair. They control the fairgrounds all year round. And I... Just a pet peeve.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's just a word.
It's a Scribner's thing. Yeah, it ain't much. But it's just, I think they do so much more than just the fair.
They do.
Could you put that in the definition side to say fair includes all the fairground?
Well, I think that's where the MOU that you guys gave that Fair Board 4 or 5 years ago.
I think it's just terminology. Maybe we should refer to fairgrounds.
The only piece about the fair is that a fair board is required by the state if you offer a fair.
That would explain
And so that's where the fair board actually originates.
Okay.
You
kind
guys,
of both.
Yeah, the county commissioners board several years ago created an MOU with the fair board at that time to give them more power.
Okay.
And more authority to actually operate and run the
fairgrounds.
Gotcha. So that is something that's very unique to some of the other fairgrounds in our area.
Yeah, but doesn't almost all the fairgrounds work that way, don't they? They don't.
No, they don't.
They have the fairgrounds board or the fairground, and they have the fair board.
It's only the fair board and then the fairgrounds staff, which answers to the fair board, and then, of course, the Board of Commissioners.
Right. Like I said.
So it's like a little team.
Not rely on that.
It works. Leave it alone.
Yep. Yeah. And it fits the state definition. So.
Any problem moving this to WBS on Wednesday?
No.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you for bringing a lot of professionalism to the fairgrounds and the process and all that. Because we needed it. We didn't even know we needed it. And then we've got the Love Abounds and Grants Pass Downs that have just exploded.
Yeah.
Out there. So thank God we had someone ready to take all that on.
Well, I appreciate it. We've got, a lot of work ahead of us, and I think the fair board knows it. We're getting ready to, hopefully in the near future, onboard two new fair board seats. And so we want to make sure that everything's in place so that we can start
the new
on
people
the right
coming
foot.
In are on the right foot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Good.
Me too.
All right.
Do you want to do a presentation on this, or we just type something up and I can read it?
I'll do a presentation on it. I don't mind giving it.
Cool.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Other business. Anything from the board that you wish
just
to talk about?
If you want a little update on the sportsman part?
Sure. Yes, I think so.
Okay. So it sounds like they will entertain the notion to take the property and the liability. Did they drop off the insurance policy yet? They're going to hand deliver the insurance policy, so we actually have it, and we are additional insured on it, so that's good. And so we're in the negotiations because, law enforcement, they kind of want some special treatment, which they deserve because they've put a lot of money into the park too, and they understand that. So we're in the negotiations of what that's going to look like, because there's two sides of that. I mean, yeah, law enforcement, they should have some special treatment, But on the other side, it does cost a lot of money to maintain that place. That's 320 acres. There's a lot of lawns to mow and a lot of, there's an RV park. And, it's kind of a...
But has the sheriff been paying something to them?
He has been paying before.
How much?
I think it's $35 a person per year.
So if you got 100 people...
Still pretty reasonable.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah. We'll look forward to a further update.
But the trading stock is the income from the cell tower can offset some of that. So what we're doing is we're actually, this is just an accounting. And now we're just throwing the numbers up and see where they boil down.
Getting it on paper to where it makes sense.
Right. I mean, the sheriff sent some requests to Wally, and he wants, all law enforcement to be free, all their families to be free and stuff like that. So that's getting weighing a little heavy on that side. So
and another thing the sheriff needs to understand, law enforcement needs to understand, nobody else gets to use that section of the range.
Right.
In other words, when law enforcement's not there, I can't go over there and pop away with my AR-15 full auto. I'm not allowed to do that. So
and same
when
thing.
When you carve out that amount for an exclusive, there I think there needs to be a little bit of money trade.
Yeah.
Well, I'm out at the range a lot, but I don't know all those workings, and they brought up like when OSP comes out to use their long guns, he shut down the whole range. Nobody else can use it while they're there.
Right.
So, the way they look at it, our cash paying customers don't get to use the range when the long, so we just kind of have to balance this out and come to some agreement of what's, but I've never been on the board out there, but I'm starting to look at their numbers, and you've got all those restrooms that need to be cleaned. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on out there.
Yeah, and just maintenance alone on all the wood and the benches
and we have all these buildings now, and there's constant maintenance. They got two caretakers out there, and I they've got them just working like crazy, and they're probably going to have to go to three people. And that all costs money.
Yep.
Plus the insurance.
So, I think they're like the on-duty range master. I don't know if he's a full-time guy or not.
Yeah, well, the caretakers kind of do that. We got some volunteer range masters that kind of
come in and take the money for targets and whatnot. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, I went out there and donated a morning and cut down some trees, some hazard trees that were dead for them and stuff like that. So we get some volunteer stuff going. But it's a big, have you guys, well, you go out there once in a while. I mean, drive around that place. Yeah.
I was coming in.
There's a lot.
I had a hard time finding Dan last time I went, which was city council days.
Yeah.
And now they've got that skeet shooting in the back there.
They got Sporting Clays.
Sporting Clays back there.
Sporting Clays out to being more Sporting Clays rather than just on a range and changing direction.
And we got the archery. I mean, there's a lot of
it
stuff.
It shows well from the freeway because it's greener than a gourd. I don't know where they're getting all their water.
Well, there's water there.
There's plenty of water there. And it really, I was coming down the freeway from Hugo yesterday afternoon. I thought, boy, that looks really nice. From the freeway, it shows well.
Yeah. There's about 4 acres, maybe 5 acres along it. And that has to be mowed every week.
Yeah.
Well, and like what I've heard from you guys, it's one of the best gun ranges on this coast, which is good.
Because we
go out 600 yards.
Right.
You know, most gun ranges, you go 100 yards, that's it.
Yeah.
And we're out 600 yards. That's, you know, that's
sounds amazing. Like born ideas.
So anyways, that's kind of what's...
Years and years ago, I donated a pickup from All Seasons Heating out there. They needed a truck, and I said, you know, I got one set that's just not being used. So I just gave it to them. I don't even know if they still have it or not, but I don't care. But then when they were setting up that indoor pistol range, there's a wood-fired boiler in there. It's a wood-fired furnace in there. And I got that donated. I can't remember where it came from, but it needed to be rebricked. And I said, I don't fit through that hole to rebrick that. And guess who did that? Ryan, when he was like 8 years old. He rebricked that boiler. I put him in there with a drop light, and I said, let me show you how to mortar these together. And I'd hand him the bricks, and he stacked them up in there.
Ryan Johnson?
Huh?
His son?
No, Ryan, my son.
Ryan, your son.
Yeah, he was just a little towhead at the time.
Man, that's a long time ago.
You're going to put your kid inside that boiler? I said, yeah, I won't close the door and leave it closed for too long.
How old's Ryan now? He's getting close to 50.
Almost 50 years old. Yeah. 49.
See, I knew. Yeah,
you know,
time flies. So, you know, I think we're going to get there, and I think law enforcement's going to be treated right, and I think everything's
going to be good. Yeah, I think you're just in negotiating that. Whatever you come up with,
here's what their worry was. This is what their worry is that they won't have enough money to run the park. Okay, now they're constantly doing things for more income. But if you raise the fees too much, then membership starts going down.
It's country club. It's a country club aspect. Mm-hmm. If you're a member, you got to carry the freight. And then another thing you've got to understand is walk-ons are what pays the bills. If you go out to the golf club and you say, no, this is I'm a member of Grants Pass Golf Club and I don't want anybody else out here. Well, the pro's going to argue with that because he makes his money off of renting golf carts to walk-ins. And greens fees from walk-ins, and that's where they're going to have to be. They have to treat it kind of very much like a country club. But at the same time, they have a really good product to offer. They have a very, very nice facility.
Well.
But that's their problem. That's their issue. But by freeing them up, this also gives them the latitude to do anything they want, any kind of programs they want, put on a Sporting Clays event.
Yep.
You know, I attended the South Pacific Open Sporting Clays in Lanai, and it was a huge event. Arnold Schwarzenegger was there, Tom Selleck was there. I mean, it drew a hell of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So those are things that are at their disposal.
They developed those RV spaces now, you know, that starts helping. And so anyways, I think we're going to get there, and hopefully we can get there quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, continue on.
Gotcha. Thanks for the update. I went to the ARPA task force meeting, the American Restoration Plan Act, and the little subcommittee formed the application for the non-business applicants. So Ready and Ivy Can't Do are taking care of the business applicants, but the rest of them, the nonprofits or other entities that are going to apply, including internal county projects like the Merlin Sewer District and stuff like that, all will have the same application process. And The committee had a few tweaks yesterday, so they're going to revamp it for next Wednesday's meeting and then present it to the commissioners on Thursday for approval.
Should the airports put in for to finish that runway extension? Do you think the airport should put in for that?
Yeah, I think they should put in for the fuel, the water suppression, and the runway extension, and we'll see how it works, and then the commissioners will have a shot at it.
Submit application, we'll see how it pans out.
Yeah, I think the runway extension probably is the priority.
Right, okay. And that will be our choice eventually.
In my mind, at the amount of money that's left to do that fuel tank, to me, that's number one, because you'll eat up $2 to $3 million in cleanup if that tank is just like that.
Well, but that's not a big chunk of money.
Well, $3 million towards the runway extension? That is a big chunk.
That is a big chunk of money. But the fuel thing, I'm not worried about.
What we've got a lot of money towards that fuel tank already saved up.
Yeah.
It's just a supplement.
Right.
Well, and you cannot put these funds in with any federal money.
No federal.
So that may mess up that extension. I don't know. So we'd have to flesh that out.
I asked that at one time, and they said no, because this would be more of a public-private partnership. Now, if DeFazio comes through, because I was talking to DeFazio's guy at the ONC meeting the other day, and he said, just let Jason know that you guys aren't out of the hunt for that full 1,500 feet yet.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know what? The carrot, I'm tired of chasing the carrot.
Right.
You know you can do that. You know, Pete knows he can do that with the drop of a hat. Why are you making a squirm? Either do it or we'll move on, you know.
And that extra length would be handy for fire season.
Yeah.
Going in the future, whether it's planes being able to land there or emergencies where they have to get to a closest airport. And so that's part of it as well, not just the business pressure, but the fire suppression.
They want to get it. It's just like the carve out on that to turn in on the 199 project, the carve out to turn on into the parking lot of YMCA, and Art Anderson says, well, you're doing that to help out Flying Lark. And I said, no, I'm doing that in response to what you told me to ease the traffic on Allen Creek Road and Redwood Avenue. You told me to ease that traffic. And that little carve out would put people into that parking lot rather than going to the light. Oh, okay. So, and the same thing with the business. They're looking at that runway extension. We want that runway extension to help out Dutch Brothers. When we're looking at the whole thing of not just Dutch Brothers, they will be able to take advantage of that. But it also opens up to all the stuff you just mentioned. Fire, you can't land a C-130 full of supplies out there. What happened?
It's the footprint. But it will attract us into the next level of business jets, and that's where all the money is in the private aviation. It's not the little small planes like I have. That's
right.
That's the country club aspect of an airplane.
And it's going south fast because it's amazing the next generation. My kids. When I grew up, if my dad owned an airplane, I'd be living in it.
Right.
And my kids, I can't even get them to go flying with me. They have no interest in that. They'd rather stay home and play video games after work. And I don't get it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at least it's after work. I like that part.
But I agree. Let's put I throw everything in there, and then we sort out. If they don't make application, your group doesn't know.
No.
The committee doesn't know.
No.
So Jason needs to be talking to the committee.
Yeah, or he will hear through Sandy. We'll make announcements and send the application out to all department heads.
Okay,
correct.
So that they can find out what qualifies in their departments and apply for it. You bet.
Okay, good. Do we have, not necessarily the final say, but do we have a say in it?
Absolutely. They're just gonna recommend that this group will recommend to the commissioners, and you'll have any and all information you want. And if they don't recommend something that we all agree is great, then we can do that.
And I want to make sure that we get to see the list in its entirety.
Yeah.
If they called something out, we don't know they called it out. Wait. This is near and dear because
there's always political. They may be looking at nuts and bolts. We have to look at the overall political and implications going forward. So
I did have a conversation with Jason on that on the pond out there in Illinois Valley. Mm-hmm. And I said, "What?" I says, "We got the water. It's running by. It's within 300 feet of the pond." I says, "What is it going to cost to line that pond correctly and at least divert the water in the pond? So at least we have a pond that a fire truck can drive up to and start drafting out of."
I thought your idea of,
okay,
of having,
I mean, that,
that
can't cost that
right.
much.
It sure sounds practical.
It's the, pump, it's the pump and the generator and the standby and all that stuff.
All that.
Yeah, that added
over
to
$1 million.
Yeah.
But that's a good ask. It's okay, we're going to excavate the pond out to 35,000 gallons or 135,000.
180.
Whatever it is, 180. We're going to make sure the pond has capacity of that. What are we going to take to reline it, replace the pipes in the bottom so that we know we got a bottom suction so we can use all the water in the pond, and then divert the thing and get that part, get that kidney in there ready to go.
I mean, the water's just running by. It might as well be running into the pond.
And we do have the water right, so we can do that part.
Yeah, right.
So glad that made, that we got that water right. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, I'm saying that that's under $200,000.
Yep. So let's keep pursuing that, because that would be a valuable asset for
that,
sure.
That, if you,
yeah,
as you apply for this, that's kind of low hanging fruit.
Yep. I guess what I'm saying is I'm looking at that whole thing is in stages.
Right. Yeah. You could get somewhere and make a better service.
The problem with what we have out there right now, as you saw, they got the cart before the horse, and they went in and lined that pond and put all the pumps in and sunk the wells and everything. And then that's where it stops. Well, if you don't fill that pond up, if you don't fill that membrane up, the sun just...
That makes it up.
And that's, I've been talking to Jason about that. I says, when you line those ponds and you do the first 3 feet with gunite, so you put the liner in, then you gunite over the top the first 3 feet, and as long as you keep that water level up into the gunite area, that liner will last forever.
It'll last a long time. So
yeah.
So.
Well, one more thing just for matters. I took my mask and hung it on my sanitizer in my office, and then I heard the governor announce that there's a state of emergency for fire, and it reminded me that when this fall comes around, I'll bet that our government's going to try and take a grab at shutting us down again. It'll be the variant or something. And so... I guess my tongue-in-cheek advice is don't throw your mask away yet. I was tempted. I saw the big stand in Home Depot yesterday that had 1,000 masks in it. Please buy one. And I'm like, I bet you're going to get moved in the warehouse soon. But don't throw it out because it might come back.
Well,
and that's unfortunate.
And I think that, you know, we had a presentation on declaring that we're not going to go back into that. I would caution us politically against making that kind of statement. However, it's not that I don't disagree with it.
Right.
You know, somewhere along the line, you have to stand up and you have to say, you know, we did it. It cost us our economy. It cost us an election. It cost us everything we've known. All the progress we made in the last 4 years, it cost us because of COVID. I don't think I want to try that again. This time, I think I want to try out the immune system.
And so
the legislature convenes in February, but it's only 30 days, so it might be a short shutdown.
Short shutdown. But so I hear exactly what you're saying. And another thing, we need to be really cautious on the declaration of emergencies, because if you read it, I think I read somewhere that, like, say, for instance, when we declare an emergency in Josephine County, it passes a lot of our authority over to the emergency manager. And we declare a health emergency, it passes a lot of our authority over to the health director. And the same thing with, you know, we had a drought, then that goes to the water master. Before you know it, and we had three of these things going at one time last year. And we really didn't make a movement until we checked with those directors. And I think we have to be really cautious on that, because you know, we get nailed for it.
Yeah.
So we're the one that's on the ballot.
The other thing that's going on in the state is right now the Emergency Management Center is kind of meshed with the Oregon National Guard. And that is what's taking place now is they're going to carve that out so the Guard will, and the Emergency Management will be all by themselves and answer solely to the governor. Because right now, being meshed with the guard, there's federal rules. But this here is going to get totally carved out and be under the absolute sole control of the governor. Well, so that's what's going on now.
And I think a lot of logical thinkers would say the state of emergency is for when an emergency happens. And now our governor is abusing that by declaring emergencies where there isn't one yet.
Yeah.
Like this fire one, like, well, there's going to be, and it's imminent threat. And it's like, well, that's not what emergency powers are for. Emergency powers are for when there's an emergency. And she found out she could abuse them during COVID when the emergency was waning, especially last summer. And then again this spring and the beginning of this summer. That's waffling on the use of emergency and kind of getting us conditioned to be in a state of panic, like, oh my God, we're in an emergency. And that kind
of
fear mongering is unhealthy.
Yeah, a lot of people out there will feed on that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're scared. I mean, people scare with that stuff. How many of us have had, like, the fireworks? People say, how can fireworks going to burn everything down? Where historically, you talk to the firefighters, I've done it.
Yeah.
It's historically not a problem.
We have no basis to.
We have no basis to say this is going to be a huge problem.
And like the city council of Talent just last week said, okay, we're banning it now. Just real quick, 1 week before 4th of July. And it's like, that's so reactionary and unthoughtful.
And Homeboys comes in and says,
yep, you owe me.
Yep, you owe me. I'm going to get paid
anyway.
I'll take my tent down and go away.
Yep.
So, but I have no idea why she declared a fire. And when we have emergencies on fire, it's geographically.
Yeah, specific.
Mm-hmm. And now this is statewide. There's not an uncontrolled fire going on in the state right now. We have an emergency. Think about that, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's unhealthy to try and
let's make sure we
move
keep
us into
eye.
Living under this all
can
the time.
Can we, if we see something like that going on, can we opt out of the state of emergency from declared by the government?
Might be a sanctuary county. We'd have to ask Wally,
I suppose. We can do anything we want.
That's what it holds
exactly. You're exactly right, Commissioner.
Right.
And do we want to spend the money in the court system?
Yeah.
And do we want, and how would it be if we make a stand and then something happens, we are not eligible for state funding and state help
But we can declare it tomorrow.
Some.
If something happened.
Yeah.
If we had a catastrophic fire, we would declare it and it would work.
And we want to retroactively declare this 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. Anything else under matters from commissioners?
Not for me, sir.
My head hurts enough. Let's.
I've got a number of different things on. I'm trying to get a hold of Mark Stevenson for planning. I've got a list of things that we were supposed to be working on that have just kind of ground to a halt. I need to get an update from him as to how he's doing on code enforcement. There's some things that, they're leaning on him, and we got this one, and that'll be torn down by the end of the week. And 3 months later, people call and say, I don't see any action over there at all.
They have their hands full.
But yeah, they do have their hands full, but I want to know what their hands are full of.
I just talked to them. Call Michelle. I talked to her this morning. So,
Michelle in planning?
And code enforcement.
Thank you.
In code enforcement.
But if I could, Chair.
What's that? Yes.
One more if I could. I gave away a piece of the rock yesterday to a longtime employee down in Survey.
In Survey?
Sherry.
Is she retiring?
Crookston?
Yeah, Crookston.
Yeah. She is retiring, here at the end of this year, so it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I got her and got to talk to her for a bit. She's excited about the possibilities, wants to vacation a bit and do some stuff. And so I wanted to just announce. She didn't want a party. She didn't want a fanfare. So this is as much as I can do as one of our meetings to say, hey, thanks.
That's
a great long-time
employee.
She's been there a long time. Yeah. And done a lot of good
work. Now I don't get to work on her El Camino anymore.
I don't know. She's keeping it. She said that's her favorite. So it ain't over yet.
I've tried to convince her that it's on its last leg. It's a really neat little car.
It's pretty cool.
Her husband passed away, last year? Two years ago. Fairly recently, and he took care of everything. And she said, I don't know. Am I supposed to be checking the oil somewhere on this thing? I said, I better go out there and give it a once over. We replaced all the filters and made sure the transmission.
Like
a 78. It's a little silver one out here on C Street.
It's totally the mullet of cars with business up front and party in the back.
Yeah, well, but it's a neat little car. It's a 4.3 V6, you know, with an AOD in it, you know, automatic overdrive in it. That's
So it's a stocker.
Yeah, both stock with American mags on it. Silver. Yeah, it's a cute little car.
Well, good.
I hope the best for her. You know, she's been down there, stuck down in the basement.
Right, she had a window.
Never had a window.
She has a window. She can look up through. She has daylight.
Yeah, she gets to see all commissioners from the knees down.
Right.
She knows that Commissioner DeYoung wears Levi's every day. Yeah. So, yeah, good good for her. I'll go down and wish her farewell.
All right, well.
Okay, right. Anything else?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sounds good. And we are adjourned at 9:47. Thank you, gentlemen.